Hello, welcome back to another Nugget of Truth. Over the last 3 weeks, we've focused our attention on private miracles, signs, and wonders. Those events that occurred in your life as a result of a decision to follow Jesus Christ. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you're a miracle, because when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you were born again. That is a miraculous event. You were changed on the inside. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." How awesome is that? It's like getting a do-over in life. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you're a sign, because the Holy Spirit of God has come to live in you. You now have available to you the Holy Spirit's comfort, His help, guidance, as well as His power and authority. And these attributes can be made visible to everyone who knows you, and so that they will know that something wonderful has happened in your life. And as a result of that, you'll be able to direct them to your friend Jesus. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you're a wonder, because you have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to comprehend spiritual things. As a result, you are now walking by spiritual faith and not only by physical sight and understanding. Now, before we can look at miracles, signs, and wonders in the public arena, we have to lay a little foundational groundwork in regards to what the term church means. The word church is a word that has a variety of meanings. The word church is used to describe a building, a denomination, like a Baptist, Episcopal, a profession. People who are clergy are often referred to as church, or a group of people. Because there are several definitions of the word church, it's very important to understand what the inspired writers of the New Testament meant when they used the word church. Today, we understand that there's a natural church and a spiritual church. The natural church is composed of people who call themselves Christians because they identify with a religion, Christianity. On the other hand, the spiritual church is made up of people who have been born again, which is a spiritual event, and identify with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, the natural church is made up of people who don't necessarily look or act any differently from the people that are in the world. Whereas a spiritual church is made up of people who are different from the world. As a matter of fact, the Bible uses the phrase that Christians are a peculiar people. We are meant to be different, not different for sake of being different, but different because we see life in a different spiritual perspective. Now, the word church literally in the New Testament comes from the Greek word ekklesia, and is translated as the called out ones. The obvious question then is, what are we called out to? Look at what Peter had to say in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He says the following, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Now, what does this verse of Scripture really mean? Well, the only way we can find out is to take it apart. So let's look at the key phrases to see if we can understand what Peter meant in totality. Number one, a chosen generation. Now, just as the Jews were the chosen people of the Old Testament, or the law, the born-again believers in Jesus Christ are also a chosen people of the New Testament. This means, as a disciple of Christ, you have special status with God. You see, you really are special in God's eyes. Number two, royal priesthood. What does that mean? Well, royal means that you represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In the Old Testament, priests were those who went before God representing the people. Now, you don't need a priest to represent you, because you can come to God on your own. The third phrase is a holy nation. As a group of believers, His church, we are called to fulfill His purpose of sanctification and holiness. As the body of Christ, we are called to live our lives for the good of others. That's what true love is, unconditional love. But this also means that we don't act like those who are not believers of Jesus Christ. Now, I know this is a hard one because there are many who are hypocritical in their relationship with God. They want Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. That is to say, they want the assurance of salvation and God's blessings, but are unwilling to accept that they must obey Him to receive His blessings. They may look like Christians on Sunday morning, but act no differently from the world the rest of the week. The fourth phrase, His own special people. A true Christian is one who accepts and lives by the teachings of Jesus Christ. We are special in that we are God's children, brothers and sisters of Jesus, and we're special because Jesus calls us friends. Five, proclaiming the praises of Him. We do that by our words and our deeds, and that we're not ashamed of Jesus. And we desire to share the good news or the gospel of the goodness of God. And that means that we share the free gift of grace of His salvation and His deliverance. And then the sixth phrase says, called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Before accepting Jesus Christ, we were blinded to the truth that Jesus is the way, He is the truth and the life, and that there's no other way to God the Father except through Him. At some point, you had an encounter with Jesus, and that truth became a truth that you could embrace and accept. The early church of the New Testament was a dynamic spiritual group of born-again believers. They saw miracles, signs, and wonders as everyday experiences. For over 2,000 years, the church has experienced the move of God in the form of revival. And there were times when the church would lose its direction. God would show up in the power of His Holy Spirit to put them back on the right track again. And this really is what revival is all about. It's literally to make alive again. You see, God is in the business of producing individual revival in His people, as well as corporate revival in His church at large. And so in our next post, we're going to take a look at the progression of a revival. First, there's the move of God. Then there's the movements of God. Then there's the movement becoming a monument to God. And then we're also going to take a look at what the church looks like today. And we pose the question, has the glory of the Lord passed from the church today? Well, let me give you a little insight. It hasn't. Look forward to seeing you the next time. Be blessed.